The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
She just wants to be beautiful, she goes. Unnoticed, she knows no limits. She craves attention, she praises an image. She prays to be sculpted by the sculptor.
Hey, I'm Jess Carmel.
It's Francesca.
I'm Miles.
Myrian.
Marnie. Florence.
Siobhan.
Joanna.
Christina.
Josh.
It's Kylie.
Miranda.
It's Jawed.
Grace.
It's James. It's Ashley.
See the light that's shining deeper than the eyes can find it. Maybe we're made of blind souls. She tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away. Cause cover girls don't cry after the face is made. But there's a hope that's waiting for you in the dark. You should know.
Years, and then there was me.
And a lot of people aren't afraid to give their opinions, whether they're hurtful or not.
People would laugh and stare.
People watching you eat and making little comments.
As I grew up thinking that I had to look a certain way.
I never thought I was as pretty as the other girls.
Be proud of it. I shouldn't be trying to hide it.
She says, beauty is pain and there's beauty in everything. What's a little bit longer? I can go a little while longer. She fades away.
What I love about people is when they're just being themselves and not worrying about what they look like.
Eyelashes and my hair extensions, that's it was what we don't have.
It's been something that I've struggled with my entire life, not feeling like I fit in.
See, her perfect, she don't understand. She's worth it or that. Deeper than the surface, oh, oh. So to all the girls that's hurting, let me be your mirror, help you see a little bit clearer, the light that shines within. There's a hope that's waiting for you in the dark. You should know you're beautiful just the way you are. And you don't have to change a thing. The world could change, it's hard. No scars, see you're beautiful.
Hold on and just wait until you can get out of that bubble, because the things that seem like weaknesses, that seem like weird things that make you strange, when you become an adult, you get out into the world, you're gonna find out that all those differences, they're like your greatest strengths.
I realize now.
There's always someone that's unique now, which was the cool part. And that's what made me comfortable to realize that every single person is different.
My personality outshines everything else at the end of the day.
What only matters is what I think of myself and that everyone has different kinds of beauty.
Smile. Smile.
Oh,
Linda Weaver. I'm president of the board here at Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, and I'd like to welcome each and every one of you. When Sherry and I were working on this service with Elise, one of the things we wanted to do was set the right tone for what this service is going to be about. And I think Scars to Your Beautiful is really just setting the right tone. You're beautiful just the way you are. And here's my welcome. You are welcome here just the way you are. And no matter where you are on your life's journey, where you are on your spiritual journey, you have found a spiritual home right here. So today, Sherry Thomas, who serves on the board of the Unitarian Universalist Mental Health Network, UUMHN, will explore how promoting the inherent worth and dignity of every person and justice, equity, and compassion in human relations can inspire us to embrace advocacy and acceptance in our own lives and help remove the stigmas surrounding physical disabilities and mental health. The Unitarian Universalist Mental Health Network is driven by a single goal: to empower the beloved community in honoring each individual's unique mental health journey towards wellness. And with that, we will have Elise Fisher and Jeff Fisher light our chalice.
Good morning. Words by Reverend Dr. Rebecca. We light our flaming chalice as a beloved people, united in love and thirsting for restorative justice. May it melt away the tethers that uphold whiteness in our midst. May it spark us in a spirit of humility. May it ignite in us radical love that transforms our energy into purposeful action. This is a chalice of audacious hope. This chalice shines a light on our shared past, signaling our intention to listen deeply, reflect wisely, and move boldly toward our highest ideals. And now we'll light the peace lamp. Blow that out. And light that from there. May peace be with us.
And with all the people in the world.
Thank you, Jeff and Elise. For those of you who may be new to Thomas Paine, we start each service by lighting our chalice, and then, of course, aspirational goal of peace for our world. And now, we're going to have our gathering song, which is hymn number 128, For All This Is My Life. The video is going to appear, and the words will be up on the screen, but if you prefer to have a hymnal, they're in the back, and you can step off to the side so folks can still see the screen. That would be great.
Make our own days glad.
Okay, Manny, you're up. This is the part of our service we call Moment for All Ages, and that is generally we have a video or we read a story to our children. And today's reader is our resident librarian, who is, well, now what's your exact title at Upper Providence, Manny?
I am the head of adult services and online marketing at Lower Providence Community Library.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Perfect. Thank you. All right. Wow. Thank you. All right. Today's book is Mama's Waves, and it's by Chandra Grosh Ippen. I hope I said that right. So, "She's not coming," sighed Ellie. "Doesn't look like it," agreed Miss Kay sadly. They had been here before. In the past, there were tears, slammed doors, ripped up cards. Sometimes Ellie would let Miss Kay hold her a while she cried. Other times she said horrible things she didn't really mean. But today Ellie was quiet, stuck in a cloud of sadness and anger. Nothing Miss Kay did seemed to help, but she did them anyway. The next day, Miss Kay made a phone call, packed a thermos of chocolate milk, and told Ellie they were going to the beach. Ellie growled like a bear. "I don't want to go to the beach. I don't want to go anywhere." "Yep," said Miss Kay with a deep breath. I know how you feel, but I need a yelling partner, and you're it." "A yelling partner?" asked Ellie. "Yep," said Miss Kay. "I've got feelings stuck inside, and I need to yell them out. But so people won't think I'm strange, I thought I'd go to the beach and yell into the waves." "They might still think you're strange," said Ellie. "Maybe," said Miss Kay, "but I'll feel a lot better." An hour later, they were at the beach with their feet in the waves. "Ready?" said Miss Kay. "Yep," said Ellie, and they began to count. 1, 2, 3. "Ah, yeah!" They yelled, sending their voices into the crashing waves. And then Ellie heard a familiar voice call her special name, "Ellie Bean." She turned and saw Uncle Finn. "Finny," she yelled. He wrapped her up in a big hug. Miss Kay said she needed yelling partners, so I came as soon as class finished. "Can I yell too?" Ellie nodded and began another countdown. After some good yelling time, they sank into the sand. "I hear your mama didn't want to come again," said Finn. She looked down. "She didn't call or anything. Doesn't she care?" Finn stared into the ocean. "You see those waves? They remind me of your mom. When we were growing up, things were pretty stormy. Her boat got tossed around by waves until the waves became part of her. We all have our wavy days, our highs and our lows, but your mama's waves go higher and lower than most, and sometimes they carry her away from the people she loves." "Like you," said Ellie. "Yeah," replied Finn, "and you." "Do you think she's okay?" whispered Ellie. "I hope so," said Finn. "She's battling waves, and she's got to get some help. I worry about her." "Me too," said Ellie. As the sand oozed through their fingers, Finn and Ellie shared Mama stories. They remembered the stormy days when Ella was sad and scared, and smooth sailing days when Ellie felt so special. "Oh, Finny," said Ellie, "remember her rainbow cookies?" "Rainbow cookies?" asked Miss Kay. "Yep," said Finn, "chocolate chip cookies with rainbow sprinkles. She called them Ellie Bean Specials. She said that when we ate them, we planted magic rainbows inside us," giggled Ellie. Miss Kay smiled. I knew you had magic inside you. Thank you for sharing your stories. Finney and I are here for you. We want to hear about the tough days and the good ones. Your mom is dealing with big waves, but we won't let those waves wash away her magic and love. Ellie nodded, leaned closer, and together they watched as the sun sank into the sea and lit up the sky with a beautiful, shimmering rainbow. The end.
Thank you, Manny. For some of you that know me, I'm a retired special education teacher, and I worked with students with special needs for 42 years. And, you know, I thought I saw everything, and I pretty much did. But the hardest thing to deal with were children who were in foster care because their parents were incapable for lots of reasons for caring for them in the moment. And this book would have been, had I known about it, would have been extremely helpful in trying to help them deal with those emotions. So I guess to start off, mental health and mental health issues have lots of collateral damage. So I'm going to introduce our guest speaker at this time. Oh, let's do our, shall we do our recessional hymn? Okay, go now in peace. What? They left? No singing? No singing? Okay, so you heard my singing voice, right? Okay, they're gone. The kids are gone now. So I'm gonna introduce our guest speaker, Sherry Thomas. Her new disability memoir, Imbalanced, traces her journey from the front page in 1962 to her role as a disability advocate fighting to remove the stigmas surrounding physical disabilities and mental health. She currently serves on the board of the Unitarian Universalist Mental Health Network. After being incorrectly diagnosed with an intellectual disability, Sherry was finally diagnosed with cerebral palsy as a young child. She worked as a journalist and magazine editor before transitioning to a successful career in sales and marketing. Sherry was appointed to her first disability commission in Maryland in 2001, before being diagnosed with a mental health condition in 2014. Her story of recovery and advocacy was published nationwide by the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, in 2022. So with no further ado, Sherry Thomas.
Thank you, Linda, for that great introduction, and thank you to Elise for chipping in for the service, that great reading by our librarian, our technical team for making me feel good. My book is on that table right in front of you, and if you come up after the service and look at the cover picture real carefully, you're going to see a picture of me at 7 years old in walking cast after a surgery, and I'm in the pink coat, and my sister Kimberly, who's joining me here this morning, Kimberly, raise your hand, she's in the front row, that's my dear older sister, she's in the green coat, and our mom Carol, you know, used to make our clothes. And so you'll see our clothes from the 60s. And you know, I'll be here after the service. I'm gonna be signing copies of my book, and I'm gonna be donating all the proceeds today to TPUF. So I really wanna thank your congregation for inviting me to speak to you this morning. Before I begin, let me ask a question. How many people have been affected or know someone with a physical disability or a mental health issue? Wow. If you take a second and look around, that is most every hand in the room. So, you know, the topic we speak about today really hits home for a lot of us. And I'm gonna start out with a reading. Later today, I'm gonna be talking about Reverend James Reeb. And he was a Unitarian Universalist minister who was attacked by a group of white men in 1965 after Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. called ministers of all faiths to Selma, Alabama, in response to Bloody Sunday. So James Reeb was hit over the head with a baseball bat, and he died 2 days later, and Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. actually gave his eulogy. So today's reading takes from the eulogy, and it's entitled Eulogy for James Reeb. We lift up the words of Martin Luther King Jr. He delivered them in Selma, Alabama, in his eulogy for Reverend James Reeb. He said, "And if he should die, take his body and cut it into little stars. He will make the face of heaven so fine that all the world will be in love with night." These beautiful words from Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet so eloquently describe the radiant life of James Reeb. He entered the stage of history just 38 years ago, and he was privileged to act on his mortal stage. He played his part exceedingly well. James Reeb was martyred in the Judeo-Christian faith that all men are brothers. His death was the result of a sensitive religious spirit. His crime was that he dared to live his faith. He placed himself alongside the disinherited Black brethren of this community. The words are by Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. And I definitely want to thank TPUF for inviting me to speak this morning. Our first two principles, which are promoting the inherent worth and dignity of every person and justice, compassion, and equity in human relations, have inspired many other people to embrace advocacy and acceptance. Unitarian Henry Berg founded the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals after seeing a cart driver mercilessly beat his horse. And his horse was beat almost to death of exhaustion in 1866. As the UU World magazine later wrote about Mr. Berg, he commenced his life work not from an affinity with animals, nor as a squeamish sentimentalist, but he was stirred by the suffering he saw, and he saw the injustice. And so, of course, he founded the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Now, later, he also learned of a 9-year-old girl that was mercilessly beaten by her stepfather. Now, back in the 1800s, there were really no mechanisms for people to step in and help children who were being domestically abused. Not only did he arrange for the rescue of this little 9-year-old girl, but he also developed the first U.S. law shielding children from domestic violence. He called for a society for the prevention of cruelty to children. And when no one replied, he actually created it himself. And we have both of these organizations still in existence today. Now, Unitarian Universalist minister James Reeb, who was the subject of the reading we just had, was inspired by these principles to respond to the call to Selma by Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. He asked people of all faiths to come to Selma in response to Bloody Sunday on March 7th, 1965. And as I mentioned earlier, James Reeb and two other ministers were beaten by a mob of white men with a heavy stick. And on March 11th, 1965, just 2 days later, Reverend Reeb died. And his death so shocked the country that President Lyndon Johnson sent the Voting Rights Act to Congress, and of course it was passed. Now I pray in today's contentious times that we can still protect the voting rights of all people. Judy Heumann, who I knew very well, is the author of Being Human, an Unrepentant Memoir of a Disability Advocate, published by the UUA's own Beacon Press. And as she wrote, change never happens at the pace we think it should. It happens slowly, with people joining together slowly, and they strategize and they share, and they pull all the levers they possibly can. Gradually, excruciatingly slowly, things will begin to change. And then suddenly, seemingly out of the blue, something will tip. I write about my paternal grandfather, William Thomas, in my disability memoir, Imbalanced. He was a pioneer in the Rural Electrification Association back in the 1930s. It was started by President Franklin Roosevelt because back in the 1930s, 90% of our farms were in the dark because the electrical companies did not want to run electricity to the farms because it was unprofitable to do so. So he saw an ad in the paper, he applied, and he was like a pioneer in that industry. And he and my grandmother, Sylvia Thomas, were ardent supporters of the Muscular Dystrophy Association because, unbelievably, two out of their four children were born with the fatal disease and they died as teenagers. So I have a prized photo of my grandfather William Thomas, and my grandmother, Sylvia Thomas, actually in the Rose Garden with President Kennedy in April of 1963, just a few months before President Kennedy was assassinated, when they were attending a Cooperatives in the Future conference in Washington, D.C. Later that year, when I was 15 months old, doctors told my parents that I was, quote, mentally retarded. Now, the words mentally retarded and words like crippled and handicapped, they're not appropriate, and they're no longer in use today. But back when I was a kid, those were the words used to describe me and other people with disabilities. In 1999, my husband Douglas and I attended our first Unitarian Universalist service. And how could we not be impressed with a religion that promoted the inherent worth and dignity of every person and justice, equity, and compassion in human relations? And so after facing so much discrimination as a toddler, I really was inspired by our religion's principles to become further involved to help people with disabilities. And President Kennedy's famous words, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country," and our Unitarian Universalist principles inspired me to develop my own advocacy. I began looking for ways to help people with disabilities. And in 2000, I did my first sermon on disability awareness in my congregation with another disability advocate. And what we did during that service is we stressed the importance of using the proper language to describe people with disabilities. For example, instead of saying Sherry is handicapped or crippled, we would say Sherry has a disability. Instead of saying Bob is, quote, mentally retarded, we would say Bob is intellectually developed. Instead of saying Joe is crazy, we would say Joe has a mental health condition. The proper words really do matter, and that's become one of my big things that I talk around the country about, using the proper language. And I continued my advocacy by serving on the board of the Maryland Alliance of Disability Commissions and Committees. And nationally, we worked to pass the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd hate crime law of 2009, which expanded the federal hate crime law to include crimes motivated by a victim's disability in addition to race, actual or perceived gender, sexual orientation, or gender identity. We also were really excited the Alliance worked to pass Rosa's Law, which was named after a little Maryland girl, Rosa Marcelina, who was born with Down syndrome. And we worked really hard to work with Senator Barbara Mikulski, who at that time was the Maryland senator from Maryland. And we worked to change the words mental retardation in federal legislation to intellectual disability. And as a person who was so hurt by the words mentally retarded when I was a child, I was thrilled to see President Barack Obama sign this law into existence. In 2014, after a very successful career in, you know, journalism and sales and marketing, I was hospitalized with bipolar disorder. But unfortunately, I refused to follow up with my doctors and to take my medication as directed. And this led to a much more serious bipolar episode in 2019 that almost cost me my life. because I did attempt suicide, and fortunately, I survived that, and I went through a lot of therapy and found the right medication. But after this episode in 2019, with a lot of support from family, friends, and doctors, I took my medication as directed, and the most important thing I did is I accepted my diagnosis. Today, I take my medication as directed, and I continue to see my psychiatrist on a regular basis. In my book, I offer mental health tips that have changed my life, and here are just a few of them that I'd like to share. A really important one is a mental health disorder is a condition just like any other. You know, if a doctor diagnosed you with high blood pressure, you wouldn't sit there and say to the doctor, oh, I don't believe you. I don't believe I have high blood pressure. You wouldn't argue with the doctor. You would probably take your medication as directed, and you would probably do, he might say, you know, I'm gonna recommend you to some resources so you can change your diet and, you know, live a healthier life, and you wouldn't have any problem with that. But unfortunately, when it comes to mental health, we don't like to talk about it. When we get together with relatives, like Thanksgiving's coming up, oh man, we'll all sit around the table and we'll be like, oh, Mary just got, she just got a knee replacement. Did you hear about that? Oh, Joan just got diagnosed with cancer. I just switched my high blood pressure medication. But how often do we sit around the Thanksgiving table and say, gosh, I've been feeling a little depressed lately. I just want to go get a medication adjustment. Or, you know, we simply don't talk about mental health the same way we talk about physical health. And this really needs to change, or more people are gonna, you know, suffer and perhaps die in silence. Because the more we talk about mental health, the more comfortable other people will be talking and hearing about it. And so again, I went through that. And you know, the most important message I can leave you with this morning is to get help. As I say in the introduction to my book, you are not alone and you are worthy. If I can help one person in crisis get help in an emergency by dialing 911 or 988, the Suicide and Crisis Prevention Lifeline, sharing my words today will have made a difference. Advocacy and acceptance have changed my life, and they can change your life and the lives of others. As we've learned today, one person can make a difference. Whether you participate in the UU social justice initiatives, whether you contact state or local representatives, or whether you advocate for another family and friend with a mental health condition or a physical disability, you can make a difference. It's equally important though, and I like to share this message, it's equally important to advocate for yourself, because you need to make sure that you are comfortable and healthy and happy. You have to be happy yourself and comfortable and healthy in order to help other people. And again, don't hesitate to reach out for assistance. Finally, as you strive to accept others, above all, accept yourself. My favorite words about acceptance are from Neil Donald Walsh in the series Conversations with God. And as he writes, those who love others grandly are those who love themselves grandly. Those who have a high toleration and acceptance of others are those that have a high toleration and acceptance of themselves. You cannot show another a part of you that you cannot show yourself. Therefore, begin with all growth, where all growth, where all evolution, where all love must begin, with the person in the mirror. To find out more about the Unitarian Universalist Mental Health Network or to support its important work, you can visit our website at uumentalhealth.org. And you can also go to my brand new website, sherrythomas.com, to add your name to our mailing list to receive updates about Imbalanced, which just got recorded as an audiobook. So it's going to be available very soon. It's being uploaded now, but it's going to be available very soon wherever audiobooks are sold. And again, I'll be around after the service, stop by and say hello, pick up a copy of my book, I'll sign it for you, I'm donating everything to TPUF. If you don't have your checkbook, don't worry about it, you can get a book and get the money to TPUF later. And again, I want to thank Linda, I want to thank, you know, your congregation, and lastly, you are worthy, and you are a treasure. And every day you're here is a gift to us all. May it be so.
I want to thank Sherry for that message that I think is so critical during these times. I have made it no secret, in fact, I've made it no secret to anyone in this community that I have been struggling with depression. And it is a struggle. It is an everyday struggle. It's something that people who are in depression face every day. But I have found it so helpful to have a community where it's a safe space, that we can talk about it, that we can deal with it and be open with one another and not judge. That's the critical piece of it. So thank you again, Sherry, for that message. And now I'm going to introduce Matters of the Heart, our own Tony Black. Tony?
Good morning, I am Tony. I am here in part in my role as a member of the care team here at Thomas Paine. We are people who choose to help Reverend Andrew meet needs when we perceive them of members of the congregation for support of one kind and another. Sometimes it's sending a note of condolence, sometimes it's a friendly phone call, sometimes it's a meal that's needed. We welcome anyone else who would like to join with us in that effort, see me or some of the other members of the care team. We generally have buttons that say care team, or we're wearing the care heart on our name tags, or give one of us or Reverend Andrew a call. We'd particularly love having some of the, what's the appropriate language now to say? Some of the men, is that okay to say? Join in this effort. It is an important role, and we don't have committee meetings. You can just join the team and do the things, you know? But I am here to invite any of you. We come into this community with our whole lives, which often includes moments of sorrow we'd like support, or moments of joy that we want to share with others. It's one of the ways we come to know one another in our whole selves, and it is important to us. I would invite anyone who has something they would like to share with us, which could include responses to Sherry's comments, to come to the microphone, remind us of your name, and briefly share what's on your mind, in your heart, that's worth sharing with others. And those who are with us in Zoom, online, can raise their physical or symbolic hands and will be recognized also to share, or can leave their thoughts of sharing in the chat. And our tech team, whom we dearly love because we so need them and they do such a great job, will share for you. Please come and share with us. Let us conclude this section of our service, as we often do, with hymn number 123, Spirit of Life. This morning I want to share with you a prayer from the Reverend Bruce Southworth, who was longtime senior minister at Community Church of New York, Unitarian Universalist. Source of all, first we would give thanks that life still flows through our arteries and veins, and that the gift of life, so often taken for granted, remains ours. For the ability to love, we give thanks. Even though the pain of loved ones lost is great, the price is not too high. For insight and intellect, we give thanks. And we rejoice that we share diverse talents, skills, and artistry. For cycles of life, for day and night, for the seasons of the year, for rest and activity, we also give thanks. We call to mind personal burdens and worldly concerns, secret hopes, and shared dreams. For those troubled with heavy hearts, we would welcome a lifting of the weight and a measure of responsive love. For those troubled by agonies of the mind, we would welcome moments of quiet and stillness. For those troubled with ills of the flesh, we hope for the body's natural healing to take deep roots wherever possible, and make courage come for every trial which may await. This day, such are our prayers for renewed peace, strength, and vision, always made with keen awareness that we live not for ourselves alone, that ever greater deeds of kindness and justice await us, everyone, every day until life's end. Amen. Blessed be. And we will close with hymn 1021, Lean on Me.
Sometimes in our lives we all have pain, we all have sorrow, but if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend, I'll help you carry on. Till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. And please swallow your pride if I have things you need to borrow, for no one can fill those of your needs that you and let show. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend, I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. You just call on me, brother, when you need need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'd understand. We all need somebody to lean on. And if there is a load you have to bear that you can carry on right up the road, I'll share your load. If you just call me, lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Just call home, dear brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'd understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.
In the words of Elizabeth Sal Jones, we extinguish this flame, but not the truth of light, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
Wow, I wish I could sing Lean On Me like that. I'll tell you what, that's my new fantasy. I always wanted to sing like that. All right, our closing words are as follows. As we leave here with our spirits nurtured, let us go forth into the fullness of our lives. May we dare to live our faith. May we widen our circle of acceptance and of advocacy, starting with ourselves. May we listen deeply, reflect wisely, and move boldly toward our highest ideals. May we have the courage to raise our voices for honesty and truth and compassion. And as we do this together, may we build a world filled with peace and justice, love and joy. Go in peace. Amen.
So if you were here last week, I showed you a short video about what Unitarian Universalist Service Committee is. And basically, it's an organization that's part of the UUA, and they are a leading voice for human rights and social justice in the US and around the world. They try to implement our values. Well, their biggest fundraiser of the year is called Guest at Your Table. And we provide little boxes if you want to pretend that there's somebody sitting at your table and you share a meal with them by putting money in the box. There are four guests chosen each year at different areas of the world. And I'm excited this year, one's in Philadelphia. You'll hear about them another week. We're going to introduce each week this month one of the guests to you. So there's a brief video about this week's guest. And if Mike shows the box, they're out in the lobby. There's also a brochure that talks about this year's initiative, which is called Planting Seeds of Justice. And we will be collecting all the monies at the end of November. But here's this week's guest.
The people refuse to die at the hands of the extractive corporate empire and the government that promotes and protects it, Juan Lopez said. Lopez was a leader of USC's partner, Fundación San Alonso Rodriguez in Tocoa, Colón, and a steward of environmental justice. He was targeted by state and corporate powers and assassinated on September 14, 2024. Lopez was murdered for his defense of Guapinol and the San Pedro Rivers. In 2012, the Honduran government declared much of the area protected land. Despite this so-called protection, the Inversiones Los Pinares mining company requested to extract iron oxide along the Guapinol River in 2013, and the government granted its permission. While the state revoked its formal authorization in 2014, the company continued without consequence. By 2018, corporate mining had fully poisoned the precious ecosystem and polluted the water residents drank and bathed in. Juan Lopez and fellow movement leaders took action. FSAR organized legislative advocacy efforts demanding an end to mining in the Guapinol area. In 2019, Lopez and his fellow river defenders set up camp in the national park to protest and impede illegal extraction. In response, the Honduran government sent 1,500 military and police personnel to violently attack the defenders with tear gas and live ammunition. Despite state violence and menacing corporate powers, Juan Lopez and FSAR persisted. The river defenders were honored with the 2019 Letelier Moffett Human Rights Award. In his acceptance speech on behalf of the group, Lopez said, "Long live the hope and rebellion of the communities who are the true owners of the award that we are receiving today." Juan Lopez expected that the hope and rebellion of the Guapinol community would outlive him, but he could not have known how soon it would have to do so. Fundación San Alonso Rodriguez and movement leaders deeply mourn the barbaric murder of Lopez and continue to tend the seeds of justice that he planted. Today, FSAR fights for legal action and government accountability for the destruction of the Guapinol ecosystem and the assassination of Juan Lopez. FSAR supports the construction of environmentally conscious traditional homes for members of Guapinol's indigenous community. The organization is educating youth on environmental law and the climate crisis. We dream of a world free of violence, free of drug trafficking, free of corruption and empire, Lopez proclaimed. Empire that imposes exploitation, poverty, misery, and war in the name of democracy and freedom. Wake up, humanity. There is no more time.
One thing I forgot to mention is that the UUSC does not come in and impose their will. They work through local organizations that are already existing. So that's a big plus, I think. If you have any more questions about the program, I'll be around after service. Thanks.